This is one of my favorite Old Testament passages of Scripture, Numbers chapter 21. Been reading through this book, and thank God for the good Word of God. Numbers chapter 21, and we'll start reading at verse 4, Numbers 21. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, saying, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he might take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, and every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Boy, it's a great text, a great message in this tonight. No doubt, John 3:14, Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I want to look at this thing a little different tonight. We'll preach this too, probably. I want to preach on being snake-bit. You know, I was doing a little reading on snakes, there's a lot of poison of snakes. In fact, we find here the Bible said the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Now, in Deuteronomy 8:15, the Bible said in the wilderness were fiery serpents. I believe God had restrained them fiery serpents from doing any kind of harm to them Israelites. But I believe God lifted his hand of restraint and they started biting these Israelites. You know, I was looking about a snake and these poisonous snakes, the word fiery, it means to be poisonous. And the venom that comes from these snakes don't come from the fangs. It comes from the head. I was reading there's a sac in the base of a snake's teeth where that venom is stored. And when they bite, it's released. Of course, there's some snakes that's very poisonous that a man can die within hours after the snake bite. But here the Lord, the Bible said, sent these serpents among the people here. They had done, my friend got discouraged, and they spake against God and against Moses. And we find here tonight that they were bit by snake. I want to preach on that thought tonight, snake bit. There's some things tonight about this. I want to say there's a result of being snake bit. There's symptoms of being snake bit. Now, you might be snake bit tonight, and you really don't know you're bit, amen. But after I preach a while, maybe you'll see if you've ever been snake bit. I want to say, first of all, when somebody's snake bit, they have blurred vision, amen. And you know, tonight, there's a lot of people sitting in the house of God that's got blurred vision. They always see somebody else's sin, and they never see their own, amen. If you've got good vision tonight, you can see your own sin. But if you've got blurred vision, you'll see other people's sin. And that's a sure sign you've been snake bit. Amen. You can't see your own sin, but you can see somebody else's sin. In fact, one man said they see double vision when they've been snake bit by these poisonous snakes. And tonight, friend, I see the criticism and the venom of bitterness coming out of folk that can only see the faults of other people. If all I did was attend the house of God or live my life to find fault in somebody else or try to find fault here and fault there, I'd have to say I've been snake bit because my vision isn't what it ought to be. And if you're not looking to Jesus tonight and looking to Him for the help of God you need, your vision will be blurred. and you've been snake bit. And so there's a lot of people tonight that's got blurred vision. They can only see what they want to see. Amen. They want to see others. They want to criticize others. I believe one of the damaged sins of the Baptist church is we've got so pharisaical and we look for other people's sins and faults that we can point them out. I'll tell you tonight, friend, if you're looking for that, you can find a boatload of them. Amen. But if you're looking to God tonight, you won't be looking at somebody else's sin. They say the choir sung good this morning. And they say, well, I've heard them do better. Amen. They say the preacher preached pretty good. Well, I've heard him do better. Amen. You know why? You don't look right at it. Amen, preacher. Had a lot of people tonight, my friends, looking up for fault in other people. And their vision's blurred. It's not my friend and I. Thank God. The perfection that they're looking for. They're looking for something in somebody else that might make them look better. Might make them look like they're doing better. But you got blurred vision. Amen. And you've been snake bit. And you get around a bunch of snakes. And that's what you'll act like too. Amen. And so I'm going to say, first of all, the good reason accepting you have been snake bit, you got blurred vision. I'm going to say this, when somebody gets snake bit, they have a slurred speech. Amen. They can't talk plainly. That's right. And you know what I see down the Baptist church? There's not many people testifying no more the way they used to. You know why? Because they've been snake bit. You can't testify in the Holy Ghost when you got poison in you. When you got the poison of this world in you. And you come and you sit. And you don't have nothing from God to say. Hey, you've been snake bit. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, everybody that's saved ought to be able to come and testify of the good things of the Lord. But many a time we sit there and we just snake bit. I mean, the world's bit us, sin's bit us in our speech. My friends got where it can't be. The glorified God. Hey, they can talk about everybody else. They can talk about everything else. But when the man of God says anybody got anything to say for the Lord, they can't talk. They've been snake bit. Their speech is slurred. And that's where they lose their testimony. I'll tell you, do you good tonight? Thank God. It's to testify at least every month. And I'll say, do you good to do it more than that? And brag on Jesus. Amen. And what he's done for you. And so tonight, have you been snake bit from testifying lately? And you hadn't spoke up for God? Hey, thank God, it'll help you, help the service. I believe tonight that some people tonight could be a key to God of moving in a meeting if they'll obey God and testify. Hey, I'm saying that when you get snake bit, that you slurred speech. I want to say this, here's another symptom of being snake bit. You got a weak pulse, amen. Hey, you know what you got tonight? You got a weak pulse. When your pulse is not strong, you laugh. That laugh in you is not as vigorous. That unction in you is not as strong. Hey, brother, I'm telling you this. When people get weak pulse, they have no fire of God. They have no unction of God. And they're dragging around. Amen. I tell you, God's people got one more time. Got some fire in their life, an unction in their heart. And come to the house of God like that. Hey, I tell you what. Let's see something happen at the house of God. But people drag in. Hey, they get so lazy in the worship. And they got a weak pulse. And you like to go out there and see if they're even breathing. Amen. But I'll tell you, if you get on fire for God, hey, you'll want to be the first one in. You'll want to get in with the man of God preaching. You'll want to say amen to the singing. I noticed tonight when the girls were singing, hey, God, I thought somebody was about to die. I wish I could have took your pulse. It weak sounded. Amen. I've never seen such a deadness in our hour. And I believe this weak pulse, you've been snake bit by something. Hey, this world, this venom and poison has got in your system. Hey, thank God, I tell you, don't it witness name that sat in churches like this. I believe they got so comfortable and their pulses become weak and they have no unction of the Holy Ghost. Hey, and you'll live and worship the way you live back at the house, the way you do in your prayer room, the way you do in the Word of God. Hey, friend, I'm just saying, when you sneak bit, you got a weak pulse. You used to have a heartbeat for God. Used to be a stirring in your soul. Used to have a joy for Jesus. But you've been snake bit, and your pulse is weak. Your vision's blurred, and your speech is slurred. Amen. I want to say this. You know what I found out when a man gets snake bit? He has a numbness. His body becomes numb. You know what's happened to the Baptist people? They're numb to preaching. They've heard it so much, but they're just become numb to it. My voice don't mean much to you no more. You've heard it for 20-some years, and you just become numb to it. You have a visitor come in. I've had men tell me, say, I ain't heard preaching like that since I was a boy. You know why? They don't hear it none. You can get a man come in that don't never hear it. It excites him. It stirs his heart. Amen. That's why we need revival. Brother Terry had come in, and we've heard him. And Brother Mibby had come in, we hear him. And we'll say, thank God for that preaching. Amen. But I tell you what, you become numb to the gospel. You become numb to the Word of God. And therefore, you that snake bit when you become numb. I think about Paul when that serpent grabbed a hold of his hand. In Acts chapter 28, when it's throwing wood on the fire. Hey, God, you know what he done, don't you? He shook it off. I tell you, it'd do good tonight to shake the serpent off. Hey, he didn't swell up and he didn't die. And that crowd of barbarians changed their mind about him and said, he's not a murderer, he's a God. I tell you what, you live for God to shake them things off. And brother, there'll be some change in other people. But they see you going through the motions and you numb to the songs and you numb to the preaching and you numb to the things of God. Why would a sinner ever want to come in this church and want God tonight? Because they can look at you and say they're swole up. They're numb to the Word of God. They have a slurred speech. Amen. They have a weak pulse. And I'm just as good as they are. I'm telling you that. You listen to me. The church has been snake bit. They've got a weak pulse. They're numb under the Word of God. And we want sinners to get saved tonight. I tell you, when she'll get saved, that's when the church has a pulse for God. When the church has some life for God. And quit living numb under the preaching. Amen. Into the singing and to the testifying. Out there excite you. It ought to be in your heart tonight. What's the problem, preacher? You may snake me and amen. That's what the problem is. You're numb to the Word of God. You're numb. Your mind's numb to it. Your heart's numb to it. And it don't penetrate no more. It don't do the effectual work that it used to because you've been snake bit. Amen. And I found this out when a man gets snake bit. His tongue swells. Amen. That's right. The tongue swells. And brother, I'm telling you this tonight. Amen. We've got a swelling of tongue when it comes to witnessing of the things of God tonight. Amen. They can't hardly talk because their tongue swells. And brother, we need to get the gospel out. Amen. There's people going to hell. And we're sitting here, my friend, enjoying the comforts of a local assembly. I've got padded pews, air condition on. I ain't got every comfort that we can want in the assembly. But people outside these doors are dying lost and going to hell. And there's no tears no more. There's no burden no more. Our tongue is swelled. Thank God, we ought to be a witness and a public crier of the gospel of the grace of God. That we ought to tell others about Jesus. We ought to try to get people in the house of God. But the day we're living in, nobody hardly says anything. We're more interested in what kind of my friend hobby we got than we do the things of God. I'll tell you what you need tonight. You need, thank God, a loose tongue
Amen. I'm not talking about gossip neither. I'm not talking about slander. I'm not talking about using your tongue. What a shame the name of God. I'm talking about the tell the story of Jesus and His love. Right? Jesus told that man that was of Gadara. He said, go tell them good things that the Lord had done for thee. He went to publish that thing abroad. Thank God. But tonight you've been spanked me from witnessing. And you don't never tell nobody anymore about Jesus and about the things of God. Hey, friend, you're more concerned about other things than you are Him. And your tongue swelled. And you've been spanked me. And you laid down this night. I'm telling you, the church don't get its witness back and get the gospel spread abroad. She'll die, friend. I'm telling you, you're not going to live forever. I'm not going to live forever. And somebody better go out and get sinners and bring them to the house of God. It takes work, I know that. But when your tongue swells, it's because you've been snake bit and you can't tell it because you've got a problem, amen. That's right. That's where we're at tonight. That's where we're at. What would it take for you to go tell somebody? What's it going to take for us to try to gather people in the house of God to hear the gospel? I'll tell you what it takes. It takes work. It takes work. It just don't happen. People just don't drive up to a Baptist church like this and say, I like the way the building looks. Amen. I need to go there. They need to hear, brother. That's what the Bible said. Go out into the highways and hedges. Thank God, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go get them and bring them in. But there's not much concern no more. You won't see revival break out in this church. Get some sinners in here that hadn't heard the gospel and let God get them under conviction and see them walking out and get saved. And you'll see an old time stirring of God. Well, it's been kind of dry lately and people getting saved. I mean, we had a good little run there where God opened the door. Had about 7 people get saved and join the church. But it's been a little while now. And we're sitting on our stool and do nothing with a swelled tongue. And we've been snake bit by this world and by the opinions of men and by Baptists that's misused the gospel. That's no excuse and it won't work in the judgment. If God's the way to bring people in, I'll ask you this tonight, what's it going to take for us to go out and invite people and compel them in? Okay, one reason we don't. We just absolutely been snake bit. We have no zeal of God. We have no hunger for God. Hey, I'm glad tonight that there is a way. Thank God to get sinners in. And that's through the people of God going abroad and preaching the gospel. But I want to ask you tonight, when's the last time that you didn't have a swelled tongue and you invited people to be with us in the house of God? I'll tell you why, you snake bits. Snake bits. We are so concerned about ourselves that it's pitiful. It's pitiful. This church, as far as I know, is doctrinally straight and doctrinally right as I know in my own heart. But we're plumb snake bit. If I had a visitation and said, we're going to meet here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, you'd have 5 to 6 people, sad to say. But you know what the thing about it is? You ought not have to have an organized visitation to go tell somebody about God. That'll be something you do every day of your life. That'll be something this church has a burden over. I tell you what I would to God you could do sometimes. I wish you could stand where I'm at and I sit right there and look at you the way you look at me sometimes when I'm trying to preach the Word of God. When people's talking while I'm reading the Scripture. When they're looking around while I'm trying to preach. I wish you could stand. I'm not making no excuse. I'm preaching the truth. You've been snake bit, friend. You don't have no desire for God. You used to love to hear the preaching. And I know I'm not the best preacher in the world. And I try to preach the truth, but the problem is not the Word of God. The problem's you, and you've been snake bit. Ought to be somebody you ought to try to reach, but your tongue's swole. You can't tell it no more. You've been snake bit. The poison. poison's in you, the venom's in you, and you need to repent and get right with God tonight. Amen, preacher. I'll tell you something else that'll happen when you get snake bit. Your skin color will change. You know what's happened today? I'll tell you what's happened. We don't look the same. Amen. Whatever happened to smiling? You ever thought about smiling?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to saying hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord? You used to. Some of you used to shout. You know why you don't no more? You've been snake bit.
Right. Yeah, come on, brother.
Some of you used to wave your hand. You know why you don't no more? You've been snake bit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You used to have some unction about you. You know what happened? Been snake bit. You know why God sent these fiery serpents amongst the Israelites? Because they went against God and against the man of God. And there's always a group of people that think they know more than God does. There's always a group of people that think they know more than the man of God does. And you know what God did? He set them serpents among them Israelites, and they started getting bit. And you know what? That's what sin does. It'll bite you. It'll put poison in you. And therefore, take your shout, take your unction, take your joy. And you can't worship God the way you ought to. Hey, you need to get above where the snakes are, amen. Get above the snake line tonight. And live above where them snakes are. Hey, God, I tell you, you get higher than where the snakes are, and you won't get me, amen. But so many people live at the snake line, and when they get to crawling, you down there where they at, and that's why them people got bit. I'm going to tell you this tonight, friend. I don't like snakes. I hate snakes. I hate snakes more than any creature that I know tonight. I hate them. I mean, I hate a snake. I tell you this tonight, but I'm telling you this, God set these snakes amongst these people, and they got the bite in their lives, and brother, they started dying. I'm going to tell you why the church is dying tonight. You can sit there all you want to, and you can say, oh, we don't have symptoms of death. That's a lie, friend. This church has got symptoms of death, and you can kill it like I can, because you've been snake bit, and you know you have. You know tonight your vision's been blurred, and you don't look at your own sin the way you do other people's. You know tonight your speech has been slurred, and you don't testify the way you used to. You know your pulse is weak toward the things of God. You know you're numb to the preaching and the singing. You know your tongue swelled, and you don't testify and witness. You know your skin color's changed, and you don't worship the way you used to. And we can sit here all we want to, and so we got the best church in the county. Why she dies? Why she dies? They say, I don't remember the most poisonous snake, but I do know in the top five is the cobra and the viper. I don't remember most poisonous snakes is not in the United States, but I did read this. The most poisonous snake, after their bite, a man can die within 2 hours. That black mama's in there too. It's in the top. It's not the top. The most poisonous snake's a sea snake. But the land snake, I can't remember. It's from Australia or somewhere like that. But the fact of it is, within 2 hours, you can die. And I'm going to tell you what. You can sit on a church pew all your life, all you want to. And you can sit there and not get involved. And dedicate yourself to God, sit there and go through the motions of religion. But I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to kill the church. The church will die. If you listen, I told these boys this morning, I was teaching them about the church at Laodicea, and that crowd said, we don't need nothing. They was the ones that needed something. Amen. That's right. They had a great need, but they didn't see it. That's why Jesus on the outside knocking on the door. And the church tonight, my friend, is not run by one man. It's run by the head of Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, Jesus. But the church is the people, brother. And there's not one man can uphold the church. It's kept together by the preeminent Christ. He holds the church together by his own will and power. But if he's got a bunch of dead people in the church, amen, and they don't have no fire, they don't have no unction, they don't have no zeal, and they've been snake bit, and they're about to die, what's going to happen? They're going to die! These Israelites died.
Notice, if you will, the result of being snake bit. Then I'll say this, there's a remedy for snake bit people. He said, Moses, would you pray to God find a remedy for us dying? And Moses went to the Lord. Aren't you glad? Thank God somebody will pray for you.
Amen.
That's right. And God said, Moses, you take a serpent made of brass and put it on a pole. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. You lift up that serpent that's made of brass on that pole. He said that everyone that is bitten. You know, the problem today is nobody's bitten. Everybody's all right. But everybody's been bit. Everybody's been bit by the devil's lies and by sin and by the bondage of sin. And been bit, my friend, by the curse of sin. Bible said, for by one man sin entered to the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all sin. And Moses went to pray to God, and God told him what to do. And he had to put a serpent on a pole. And that serpent, my friend, was the same thing that bit him. Listen to me. The same thing that bit us was put upon Christ on the cross. It was sin that bit us. It was the curse that bit us. And Christ put everything that ever had bit us on Himself on Calvary. He had to deal with the issue of sin. That's the issue tonight, is sin. It's not heaven and hell as much as it is sin. Because Jesus came to save from sin. And if a man gets saved from sin, he'll go to heaven and escape the damnation of hell. But tonight, sin's the problem. He had to deal with what was a curse to us, was sin. And brother, that's why he went and died. He became a sin bearer. He became the remedy of them that had been bit. And thank God, he said that I'm satisfied with what he's lifted up. And if them Israelites will look upon that what's lifted up, thank God, they can live. Amen. Now listen to me. You know what the church has tried today when they've been snake bit? Well, let's get another program in it. That's never going to heal those that's been bit. And what we're thinking tonight is, how can we get more people, and how can we have more move of God, how can we have more reviving in our church? Same way they got life. And that's look to Calvary. And that's look to Christ. And what he done was, he took that pole, he put that serpent on that pole, and he lifted it up. Now get this here. Who's lifting it? The law. Moses couldn't deliver them. He couldn't save them men from being bit. That law can't save you neither. Hey man, it's only a schoolmaster pointing you to Christ. But Moses was a law man. He was a lawgiver. Thank God the Bible called him the lawgiver. And the law came by Moses. But you know what the law did? The law lifted up Calvary. The law lifted up the pole. The law said, look on the pole. The law said, look here. That's the only healing you got tonight. That's the only power we got tonight. It's in the cross, in the cross. That's why Paul said, I wouldn't glory in nothing save in the cross. If you get to the cross, you can have forgiveness. You can have revival. But I'll tell you, as long as you live in a snake bit state and you don't never look to the cross and get forgiven, you'll stay that way. And that's where the church is tonight. That's where it's at. You ask the majority of people why they don't even come to church, you know what they'll say? Well, so and so down there, they're looking in the wrong place. They've been snake bit. That's right. There's no excuse. But listen to this tonight. There's snake bit. God gives a remedy for being healed from this snake bite. And he uses a brass serpent on a pole. I love verse number 9. I mean, I love it. Because it's a testimony of salvation. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a certain serpent had bitten any man, listen to me tonight, any man, it didn't matter who they were in that company of Israelites. Any man, if that serpent had bitten any man, notice what the book says. So if that serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. So what that's telling me is all he had to do was look after he was bitten. Just to behold that serpent of brass and look on that serpent of brass, and God gave him life. God raised him. God healed him. And God, my friend, restored him to life in the moment of death. If the church is ever going to have revival, if the church is ever have the move of God, they're going to have to look to the right place. They're going to look to Calvary. They're going to look to the cross, because it's a place of crucifixion. It's a place Christ died. It's a place where you get life. Death gives life. When Christ died, He died that we might live. And when a sinner looks to the cross of by faith, of being bitten by sin, he's healed, thank God. That's how you got saved. You look to the cross. Now I want to tell you this, there wasn't nothing else they could do. They was dying. In fact, I thought about preaching a message from here, hope for the dying. It's in the cross. And they was all laying around that camp with venom in their bloodstream from them poisonous serpents. And Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. And all them men could do was lift up their head and look. And when they looked, there was immediate healing from that snake bite. I'm going to tell you, when we have old time meeting around here, when we get looking back at where He brought us from, and when we look to Calvary tonight and see what Jesus done for us, I'll tell you, there's no greater revival that a man can have in his heart than to go back and remember the day He saved you. And remember, thank God, the time Jesus took you to Calvary. And the Holy Ghost showed you Him hanging there for my sin and your sin. And all you had to do was look to Him. It wasn't no works of righteousness. It wasn't nothing man could do but look. I'll tell you, that man had to look. Amen. If he hadn't looked, he would have never been healed. And the message is, look to Calvary. Look to Christ. Look to His power of healing. That's where it said, it's in the cross. But if a man don't look, he don't get healed. And if a church don't look, they'll stay in the same predicament. And eventually, the poison of them serpents will kill them. And it'll kill the church. And they'll look around the church and they'll come in and say, what'll happen to so-and-so? What happened to her and what happened to him? And they'll say they died of a snake bite. And the serpents of this world have bit them. And they wouldn't repent and look to Calvary and have revival in their own heart and get a move of God in their life, because they had too much pride to look. And they'd rather die in their snake bite than to look to Calvary. I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you ever get saved, you'll have to look to Calvary. If you ever get saved, you'll have to admit, I've been bitten. I need Calvary, and I look to Calvary. That's where I look at. You go back to the day God saved you. I couldn't look. Thank God it was lifted up to me. And I won't say this. The cross come to them. They couldn't get to the cross. The cross come to them. Paul came to them. Moses had to bring it to where the dying was. Hey, that's another message right there. God tells us to take the message of the cross where the dying are. Amen. This is a body of believers. And we talk about Calvary, and sinners can be saved. But with them sinners out there, need to come. That cross took to them. That's where Moses took it. They took it where the dying were. Amen. That old song says, hey, God rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them from the flames of hell. Hey, friend, we need to take it where it's at. That's what God did for me. He brought the cross to where it's at. I couldn't get to Him. He came to me. Amen. That's right. That's where the cross has to be taken, the sinners. And Moses took that pole, thank God, to where them bitten Israelites were. And they didn't have to do nothing but look. And as soon as they looked, they were immediately made whole and saved from that death that snake bite was going to bring to them. Oh, isn't that what Jesus did? Thank God he tasted death for every man, the Bible said, that we wouldn't have to taste death and hell and the judgment of God. He died for sinners like you and like me. He took every sin you'd ever commit, laid it on himself, thank God, and was lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. And old John Parker and old Joel Hine, every sin was placed upon the Son of God, and all they have to do now is look to him. Thank God that died for them. And by looking to him, there's salvation, there's healing, there's power. Thank God, I'm telling you, that's where the Holy Ghost upon a man is to the cross. Amen. That's right. Amen. You've been staked, man. Hey, healing's in the cross. That's right. I'll tell you, go back to the garden when Eve fell into the temptation. Who was there? The serpent. That's right, the serpent. Can I say she got snake bit? And can I say Adam got snake bit? But can I tell you, thank God, Jesus came and took our sin, became sin for us who knew no sin, and placed it upon him. Thank God that the Adamic race could look upon him as Savior and Lord and be saved. And that's where it's at tonight. That's where revival takes place in the church. As people look to Christ, look to the cross. Thank God at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. I'm happy all the day. Hallelujah. Listen, don't let it ever get old on you. Don't let the cross ever get old on you. Don't ever get to the place that you can't bow before him and worship him and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the cross to me as a lost, hell-bound sinner that had been bit by the serpents of this world and had been bit by sin. But God, you brought the cross to me. You brought the remedy to me. And I couldn't do nothing but look to you. And the day I looked to you, hey, God, you took away all my sin and made me a new creature in Christ. And save me by your power. And revival's in there. If people testify in the Holy Ghost, I tell you, there can be revival in the church. That's right. That's where it's at. At the cross. That's where you can have an old time move of God. If you'll get back to it. That's right. Snake bit. I wonder if you've been snake bit. You need to look to Jesus tonight. That's right. Oh, yeah. I know. Westside Baptist Church. It's old-time church. But we snake bit. Our tongue's swole. Our speech is slurred. Our vision is blurred. And we snake bit. And oh, to God, somebody get happy in Jesus again and worship him the way you used to when you never have, after you went to Calvary and got saved. Thank God for them times. I appreciate Brother Todd and Sister Jennifer testifying in God the other night. It helped my heart. Because you know why? That's where revival comes from. When God's people get stirred about what God has done for them and saved them by the grace of God. Amen. Look to Calvary again. Oh yeah, you say, preacher, these people were discouraged. They'd got plumb discouraged. I tell you, where you go in discouragement, you can get this way, brother. You can get to blaming God and the man of God and blaming other people in the church and end up in judgment. Or you can look to the cross. You can look to what Jesus did. You can look to where he brought you from and where he's brought you to and rejoice in him and him alone. He alone is worthy. And the church ought to get up, thank God, and worship him because that's where life is. Let's stand tonight. Let's stand.